Kia ora whānau. It's good to see you all here, and it is spring. Yay for spring. That means it's short season again, and I'll be doing an assessment of those particular guys who, making sure you're doing spring attire. So I'm going to just focus on the latter part of what we've just read out, where Jesus is trying to flesh out the kingdom of God to his listeners. Tricky task, right? Maybe as difficult as trying to describe love. He's trying to think about what the kingdom is and what it is not. Because as we know, learning new ideas, new concepts, new techniques is one thing. That's hard enough, isn't it? But what about unlearning? Unlearning, that's another whole realm of tricky. And that seems to be a bit of what Jesus is doing in this parable. In the first half, we meet a farmer who's scattering the seed on the four soils. Some goes on the path, some on the shallow soil, some on the rocky soil, some on the good soil. And he goes on to explain this. But he then tells the parable of the lamp. And then he's back telling yet another farming parable. But this one is different. The farmer scatters the seed. And then what? Then he goes to bed. The Message translation puts it like this. God's kingdom is like seed thrown on a field by a farmer who then goes to bed and forgets about it. The seed sprouts and grows, and they have no idea how it happens. The earth does it all without their help. What could this be telling us about the kingdom of God? It seems like Jesus is saying that basically we just need to go to bed and forget about it. That really, it's all up to God, so we should just stop worrying and get some rest. That might sound quite attractive, eh? If you've been a parent raising a baby, you might know that feeling. When you see your own child next to another child who's the same age, but the other child is already walking or already talking, and it's tempting to think, oh, what am I doing wrong? Why is my child not walking and talking? So what do we do in these situations? We try harder as a parent? Of course not. We don't do that, do we? We relax. Children are amazing. They all learn to walk and talk eventually. It's really not up to us. They'll walk and talk when they're ready. There is a lot about raising children that as parents we really have, well, maybe I'm speaking for myself, no idea about. How does it work? But we know that it does work, right? And like parenting, the farmer here isn't totally absent from the process. The farmer scatters the seed. But they're well aware it's not their skill or ability that makes things grow. The farmer is well aware that there is most definitely this mysterious other force at play that they have no ability to control. The photosynthesis and the cell mitosis that is causing the plant to grow. The farmer has no idea about that or the ability to control it. So the farmer is in this kind of strange, trusting partnership. On the one hand, they do their part by sowing the seed. On the other hand, they trust that these other forces are at play that miraculously bring about a harvest. So where might I be in this dichotomy? And where might we be as a church? In this partnership of both active seed scattering and of confident resting. It's a bit tricky. Maybe that's the beauty of Jesus' teaching. Some people could think, well, it's all up to God, so it doesn't really matter if I do anything. I can just put my feet up and rest. Yet, there is a role to play in partnership with God. There is scattering of seed. So what does that currently look like? What could it look like? And on the other side, Some people could think, well, I'm busting my guts out here and scattering seed. I'm active in all sorts of different ways and I give so much of myself to help God's kingdom come and thrive, and yet I'm not seeing much action, much change, much evidence of God's kingdom coming. So I need to do more. And more is done. Going well beyond sowing. There's tilling the ground with a giant turbo-powered tractor. There's aerial dropping of fertilizer. It's all go. And the more effort and harder the sowing work is done, the more frustrating it can become. Not seeing the results that are wanted or expected. And yet, this parable of Jesus offers us words of peace and hope. The seed sprouts and grows, and the farmer has no idea how it happens. The earth does it all without their help. It's God's kingdom. God is bringing it in. We can be confident that God is at work in us as we live and work and rest. Well, if the first half of that little section that we're looking at is a bit of a puzzle, the next part of the story is even more confusing, I think. The parable of the mustard seed. Was that a mustard tree in that image you had at the beginning of the call to worship? Was, yeah. Nice, thanks. It seems, at first glance, so obvious a parable. It barely needs explaining, right? From the tiny little mustard seed comes the great big mustard bush that all the birds can make their homes in. Isn't that lovely? It's inspiring, isn't it? From small beginnings to great things. Who doesn't want to be a part of that? Great example of this is the small group of New Plymouth locals led by Te Whiti o Rongomai and Tohu Kākehi, who set up Parihaka as a place of peaceful, passive resistance and Christ-centered community to combat injustice. The teaching of Jesus outworked in this small group at Parihaka impacted Nelson Mandela, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr. Margaret Mead famously said, "Never underestimate the power of a small group of committed individuals to change the world. In fact, it is the only thing that ever has." So this stuff, this is what we might call mustard seed theology. But that's maybe not the only or even the main meaning that Jesus was intending when he told this parable. It's probably, you probably take that out of it, but it's probably not the main thing. You see, in the Middle East, mustard is a weed. It was invasive. It would take over. If Jesus was telling this parable here in Aotearoa, he might say something like this. "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? It's like gorse seed, which when sown upon the ground will soon overrun all your pasture. And a few generations from now, farmers everywhere will curse you for introducing it." The mustard seed was a strange metaphor to use for inspiring people to the kingdom of God. If we think of inspiring flora from the Bible, we might think of the cedars of Lebanon. They were well referenced in the Psalms and in the temporal literature. Tall, strong, beautiful. But Jesus doesn't use that. He uses the gnarly, invasive, weed-like mustard bush as an example of the kingdom. The original listeners would have been thinking, why on earth would you be planting mustard? Just as we would be thinking, why on earth would you be planting gorse? Why not cedar? And I think this is exactly what Jesus is getting at. Remember, Israel is under Roman occupation in this time. You can imagine the troops of Roman soldiers coming through town and all the power and the grandeur that was associated with the Roman Empire. And that power and grandeur and largeness, in a way, goes hand in hand with cedar kind of imagery. And toppling this, overcoming oppressive power, is exactly what a lot of Jewish revolutionaries wanted. And it's exactly what they wanted in a Messiah. They thought they needed a cedar type of savior. Yet, we know a bit about what Jesus is about, don't we? Jesus is constantly telling them, my kingdom is not a kingdom of power, not a kingdom of grandeur, as you think of it. It's an upside down kingdom where the meek are the ones who inherit the earth, where the poor are the truly rich, where the peacemakers, not the war makers, are the victors. It's not a top-down kingdom where God's ways will be enforced from on high and everyone must be obedient, like in the empire. It's the opposite of this, where, like gnarly mustard bushes, things just grow because they have this life inside of them. They grow because it's in their DNA to thrive. They pop up in any spare patch of dirt. They pop up in every patch of unattended garden. They pop up in the cracks and in the crevices and exactly where you don't want them. They just keep popping up. And despite difficult conditions, Jesus followers persevere and flourish, both here and, like our Judy shared last week, all over the world in different places. God's church continues to grow. And there's more with mustard. Yes, it is small, but mustard has an incredibly strong and distinct flavor, right? And isn't that a great metaphor for church on every level? Thriving, multiplying in every part of society, strong and distinct. And yet that's not all. Remember, there are birds in our passage as well. These birds that make nests in the mustard tree. Again, we might have the wrong picture here. I think I always have had. As much as we like to look at birds, and when we hear the idea of nests in a tree, we get this lovely idea of these sweet birds building their homes in a tree, right? Well, I do. But birds were pests to farmers. Farmers don't want birds around. They steal seeds, they ruin crops. Birds can be a right pain. But maybe, again, that's what Jesus is saying. Look, in God's kingdom, those who everyone thinks are the undesirables, the birds, they're welcome. They can come and make their home here too. In that religious culture that was all about rule observance, the vast majority of the population were farm workers, agriculturalists, people who couldn't possibly keep up with the demands of the law. To some of the religious leaders, they would have been seen as just a bit of a pest, like a bird to a farmer, a bit of an annoyance that it would be great if we didn't have to deal with. And Jesus is saying, no, in his kingdom, all people have a home. So despite difficult conditions... Oh, hang on, I've read that one. Just in case it needs saying, we're the birds in this story too. We're the ones who don't really belong. We're the ones that can't possibly keep the rules. We're the ones who don't really belong because of our own goodness. But through Jesus, we get to make a home in God's kingdom. We make nests in the shade. So, as we take this into this week, where are we currently sowing seed? Because the reality is, you know, we're living out God's good news in different ways. So where are we currently sowing seed? Sharing of God's goodness in word and action. And how might Jesus be inviting us to sow this week? And how might Jesus be inviting us to rest? Resting in the confident knowledge that God is at work, even when we are not. In this parable, Jesus is encouraging us to be like invasive like the mustard bush, resilient and multiplying with a strong, distinct Christ flavor. And just like how we are a welcome yet pesky bird in God's kingdom, because of God's love and grace, is there another pesky bird that we could welcome into our lives and in our church? Amen.